Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everyone, you know the guest of today's flashback episode from her many comedy specials, including Perfect, Good Clean Filth, Not Safe, Bangin', and so much more. Here's Nikki Glaser.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Unqualified with your host, Anna Faris.
I'm so grateful to be here today. You're so awesome. And right out of the gate, you're just like cool just, and fun and so approachable, even though you're so famous and so talented and so fantastic. It's wild, like, how I get to sit here next to you because you're a movie star. And I'm just, but you're so cool. And I wasn't nervous, to be honest, because I knew you'd be cool. But I, like, walking down this hall, you're like blasting music. The energy is already good. We're on a lot. And there's high security to get in here. It's always like kind of, when you come to these studios, there's not this, you can't create this vibe. This is all you.
Nikki, like it a lot.
I feel like you.
I feel like you're doing a compliment takeover.
This is when I'm supposed to be complimenting you. But I read your Wikipedia on the way here just to like refresh my Anna Faris like knowledge. And dude, it was epic. You've done so much shit and you're so cool. And you came, I thought maybe your parents were actors or something, you know, like the, but you just are self-made actress.
See, but Nikki, this is the kind of thing that, thank you. And I want to absorb that compliment and I so appreciate it.
I know,
but
it's so uncomfortable. I want to get back to you. I know it's so uncomfortable.
Well, because like we're in a profession where we get rejected a lot, so compliments are tricky. But thank you. And I am so happy to have you here. But I did want to actually talk to you about something that is kind of similar to my more favorite guests, I think, have been stand-ups. But it's a whole fucking other thing to try to penetrate through. Have you experienced this on your podcast, like with stand-ups? So as we were plotting you.
Yeah.
Plotting me. Plotting, yeah. Like I was telling these guys, like, okay, so she's a stand-up and she's hysterical. So how do we infiltrate? Sort of, how do we break her open and then eat out her heart?
Oh my God, it's so easy to do. It's so easy. I am a fucking open book, and it's going to be my downfall.
You're the first stand-up that I've ever said that to on my podcast.
Of what?
Well, that it's difficult to...
To crack open stand-ups?
Yes.
They're guarded?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And that's an obvious thing to say, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's not, because the ones that I gravitate towards are not. The ones that I gravitate towards are just like these open wounds
so
that are constantly
are
bleeding
favorites?
Everywhere. Well, my favorite's Rachel Feinstein. Do you know who that is? She's a female comic. You got
to
check out. She is just like...
I wanted to
so lie. Incredibly. No, don't lie. It's hard to know all these people, but Rachel Feinstein is legit one of my favorite comics ever. Ali Wong, Jessica Kirsten, Schumer, I fucking love. I just love anyone who is... up there being completely honest. And Krista Stefano, he's one that I've watched recently where I'm like, he's so honest, I gotta step up my game. He recently just bombed so bad on Kimmel. He just taped a Kimmel. They pre-taped
really?
It. And this dude is so honest. He went on Twitter and just goes, listen, I just bombed on Kimmel. I ate grade A shit on TV. When it airs, I wanna have comedians over to watch it because there's nothing better than watching another comedian bomb. And I'm like, the honesty it took to just admit to the world that you bombed is so refreshing. I'm just drawn to comedians that, and the ones I have on my shows, I know the ones that are going to open up, because there are some that are just like telling jokes and always hiding behind something, and I'm so not interested in that anymore.
Yes.
From comedians. That's like my Louis thing. I don't want to watch Louis C.K. anymore right now because he was always so honest and I feel deceived. It's a whole other issue what was done. But as someone who loved him, I always felt like he was just the most honest person. And then I'm like, wait a second, you won't tell him the whole story. And now I'm like, I'm not as interested. But well, that's just from like an entertainment perspective.
It's true. Like he started this unbelievably honest trend of self-deprecation.
Yes.
And storytelling and like crafting a story. And that part fascinates
yes.
me too, which and I wanted to to ask you about this. The crafting of a joke, like how structured is it for you? Or, and is it structured?
Oh my God, dude, it's not at all for me at this point. I'll tell you how it happens now. And it used to, when I first started, I was like notebook, writing one-liners. That's all I had. Like jokes, for me, the building blocks of a bit is just one-liners. Like laugh, 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 you know?
Can you give us an example?
Yes. So like a one-liner would be, one of my first jokes is like, my mom, I don't like to say she's an alcoholic. I do say though that she's a shopaholic because she's like addicted to buying alcohol. So then that would be a one-liner.
But your fucking delivery is so, because you do this glance down.
Yes, I do the undersell. It's a Wendy Liebman type technique. One of my favorite comedians of all time, Wendy Liebman, she would do that all the time. I remember watching my dad, a specific memory as a child, watching my dad watch her on The Tonight Show and him laughing so hard because she goes, "So guys, I just quit smoking crack and it's going really well." It was just such a subtle, beautiful twist. And Kevin Nealon also does it. So it's a style that people do. Sarah Silverman did it a lot. And she was someone who I looked towards very early on and was like, I just wrote jokes as her because I didn't know what to write for myself. I was 18 when I started. So I was like, what do I even talk about? I'm not having sex, but that's the funniest stuff to me is sex. So that's all I want to talk about. So I just started writing as someone who had had sex. It's not just the writing. It's actually the performance of it. It takes a certain finesse to sell someone in this direction and then pull it out. Like I just, another joke I recently wrote was, you know, I actually don't talk about my mom's drinking anymore on stage because she quit talking to me. And so I am not doing those jokes. So those two jokes now, that's probably one of the last jokes I wrote. And then the first joke I told you was probably one of the first jokes I wrote. And now I can put those together, thus making a bit. Now it's a whole entire bit now about my mom's drinking, but it's actually two separate one-liner jokes. And now a great bit becomes like 10, 11, 12, 20 of those like one-liners. And if you write enough one-liners, you start to notice these trends of things you're talking about. And we're like, oh, all these one-liners about dating. So then you start to group them together. And that's about year five where you go, okay, here's my, that's for me at least. And now material on stage, I don't sit down and write at all. It's just, I'll say something funny in conversation. I'll jot it in my phone. And then
you will?
Yeah. Like I'll write a couple words. And
why
then
aren't you jotting anything down right now? Because I it would feel just like be too I've been rude. Saying
no,
all we've kinds been, of, no, it would be a compliment.
Hold on. I like, I've learned a couple things about you that I just want to get. Uh-oh. I just want to get cleared up.
Okay, off of Wikipedia? For,
yeah, like just reading about you. And I'm sure your fans already know this stuff and you've told these stories before, but it just in case they haven't, I think they're probably interesting. What was your audition for Scary Movie like? Like, what was that process? Because that came out of nowhere and that was like so major. Did you know it was going to be that major?
Fuck no. I mean, well, I love that you're asking me this question and I'm going to feel guilty in like 20 seconds because it's kind of, it feels like an involved story.
No, I want to hear it. I'm dying to hear
it.
I
was terrified. It was my first audition in LA, which it feels like a braggy thing to say because it is, because I am proud of that part.
Sure.
But they hired me because like 60 other actresses had passed on the role like as soon as they got to the scene where I get sprayed to the ceiling with sperm. You know, a lot of actresses are like, no. So then like, oh yeah, let's hire this ding-dong from Edmonds, Washington, who doesn't have an agent. Yeah, she'll do it. Yeah, all right. And I was like, oh, yeah.
My God.
But they didn't give me the script until after I got
you didn't know about the cum spray.
I didn't know, but I was still excited but terrified.
Of course.
After I got the phone call that I got the role, I don't think I've ever been more lonely in my life. It was this feeling of complete terror. I didn't know anything. I mean, am I going to get fired? What does this mean?
Did I
mean?
Just trick these people into giving me totally, this? I'm going right. to blow it and they're going to all be...
I called my college roommate and I told her that I got this role in this spoof movie. And she was like, oh my God, Anna, but you're not funny. And I was like, I know. But what she was saying was comforting. It was like validating to me that it felt like, I know, she understands. Like Claire understands.
Oh, like you were saying, you felt alone. Finally, someone feels the way you feel.
Yeah. She understands that I'm not funny. But yeah, I think I was the most willing person.
That's crazy though. But how great that it worked out. And also how much you fucking nailed that role. Oh. And like such, you took that role and made so many fucking choices that were just so strong and daring. And like, that's the thing. People listening who aren't actresses, and I'm not an actress at all, because it's so fucking hard. Because you have to take a script and you have to invent a character. I mean, there's words there, but you have to like invent something out of nothing. And it's very hard to do. And you have to make choices. And you just made so many choices. It would have, it just, how did you come up with that character?
Fear. I'm just like, I guess I'm just going to say everything as sincerely as possible, and I don't need to come up with a character because I'm just going to be sincere, and then maybe they'll let me go back to this. Oh, they paid for a hotel. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. You're just, like, happy to be there. Whatever.
Well, happy, but not
did you ever relax? Did you ever relax?
No.
The whole movie. How long were you shooting?
I love you, but I want to get back to you.
No,
but
people are interested in this stuff. It's fine. Sweet. They're going to be happy I asked. They're going to like me more because I asked these things. So this is all going to serve me in the end.
Damn it. Mickey. What is this?
And one more
question.
This
is like a takeover.
So you never felt relaxed. When they finally go, that's a wrap on Anna, did you feel so much relief? Or were you like, oh, no, it's going to come out. And what's it going to be? Did I do a good job?
I think now I have to take, you know, like what I have left of my life and move to Los Angeles. I hadn't even moved to Los Angeles yet.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, I guess I got to clean out my childhood bedroom and maybe make a...
Because you were 19?
And you were an English lit major.
I know, I read that too. Yeah, we both
oh, look at us.
Yeah. Yeah, we both did it. Like, I just picked it because it was easy and I was already fluent. I was like, I'll ace this.
For me, it was like, I changed my major 5 times. And
oh, wow, yeah.
And
how'd you land on that one?
It was I had the most credits.
That's what I did.
And my parents were like, we're so tired of paying for...
Yeah, 5 years.
Yeah.
And you weren't even doing theater there?
I was doing some theater, but I decided training to stop acting because I just thought there's no way I could make it. But like, I would do like voiceover shit or training videos around town. Like,
but you
shit
knew
like that.
You wanted to do it.
Nikki.
Wait a second. Hold on.
You are going to make
Pamela
me crazy.
In Pamela Adlon's episode, hold on. There's another thing. Your first line in a thing. What did you say your first line was?
Fuck, I don't remember.
We give good phone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's
why
stupid shit.
That
wait,
is,
no, Nikki.
Hold on. That is disgusting. So you had to do a line in a Red Robin, like, instructional video for Red Robin staffers.
Yes.
And you had to at some point go, like, guys, be good on the phone. And the catchline, the catchphrase was, we give good phone.
Here
hold
Red
on.
Robin,
that is disgusting.
We give
that is
good
a joke
phone
about giving head.
Yeah.
And is there also an instructional part of the video where you shouldn't make instructional videos for your people who work for you with fuck sexual innuendos and make a girl say, we give good phone? Were you supposed to lick your lips after it too?
I was lucky enough to get sprayed to the ceiling by gallons
of sperm. That was also in the Red Robin employee training.
Yeah, my parents, they were like, thank goodness we paid for college.
That's
I feel like it's... Well, it's very intriguing, but it also feels a little bit cheap to go.
I'm stressed out by blowjobs. Like, they, oh my God. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
like,
I can get I to know a penis, and then I can get good, and I can get comfortable with a guy enough to be like, what is working? What doesn't? Give me notes.
Oh,
but like
that's
a first
good
time blowjob, I am terrified because I'm not vulnerable enough to be like, listen, I'm not great at this, and everyone's different. Can you tell me what you like? Because even if a guy tells me what he likes, I'm like, I don't know that I can do it. I've got bad rhythm. I don't have a natural good sense of rhythm, so I'm going to disappoint you if you enjoy that. And I'm confused
I have a tiny mouth.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I have a tiny mouth because my teeth are so big, it leads my mouth to be too tiny. Or you have to cover up your teeth. And then you look stupid when he looks at you. And then, I mean, it causes me a lot of, but I did give one recently. I've only given two in the past, since June, two different people. I'm single, dating around, and I gave two individual ones.
And wait, so if you can totally pass on any of these things, but what is
you didn't even ask me about how many blowjobs I gave, and I just volunteered that.
I know, so, I love it.
Yeah. I'll probably answer anything you say. Sorry, what did you say?
Well, dating in L.A.,
oh, I live in New York, but dating in L.A., I've dated in L.A. because I spent a lot of time here.
That's not on my bio, Nikki.
Don't worry. I'm all over the place.
Do you have any comments on the bio that my sweet team wrote up for you?
Okay, my age is first, so that feels great. I'm 35, just reminding me of that, which I loved your conversation with Pamela about that, by the way. Aging in Hollywood. 35, I'm going to be 35, I want to say, for the next, what is it, March? So the next 3 years, I'm going to keep that age. That's my new joke. I am 35, though. I was born in Cincinnati, Ohio. That checks out. Spent most of my childhood in St. Louis. Boom. Nailed it. Graduated from Kirkwood High School. Uh-huh.
Were you a cheerleader?
No.
What was your activity?
Plays.
Theater. Was that
acapella.
A cool thing to do at Kirkwood High?
No. But then towards the end, guy like jocks started doing it. Like they started thinking it was cool. But no, you know.
I gotta tell you, there's like your high school was as generically named as my high school.
What's yours?
Edmonds Woodway High School.
Yeah, Edmonds Woodway High School.
Yeah, just two towns.
Yeah. Any close. Any famous alumni besides you?
No. Nah.
Really? Not you got it.
There probably is, but I don't pay attention to those. You wouldn't? Fucks.
Do you not? You don't want to think about high school? Bad time for you?
It was, but I do like to think about it, and I like to talk about it because it's such an informative time. Yeah, do you think that people think that's stupid that I think that? I mean, because
that
I
it's
think,
a formative time. Well, come on. I mean, I know it's that the most.
But what I'm saying is that I felt like I was recently criticized for it being too much of a formative time. Like, does anyone really still think about it or whatever? But I think it lingers. I think it lingers.
Huge, because you're stupid like a child, and so you don't understand things. But you're also like your hormones are aging, so you're feeling things more. So it's just this like kind of paradox of like being stupid, but also like strong enough to have the feelings, and it's just confusing. And
why the fuck do we have to revisit it every fucking decade?
Oh yeah, that is strange.
Like, what? We have to go back to weird. Relive like these 4 years of our lives.
Some people think
that
it was the
awful.
Four best years.
Yeah, but I don't think they go back to the reunion and leave the reunion still feeling that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, don't know.
I loved high school. I had a great time. I was definitely in pain in high school, and I definitely the first 3 years of high school were great.
Did you fall like hard love?
No, I didn't have a boyfriend until I was 24. I was
so of course you had a great time in high school.
I know. All I did was hang out with my girlfriends, and then when they got boyfriends, I would sob and like.
Were you like boy crazy or anything?
Of course I was, but I was so scared of boys. I was just like wanted boys so bad, but like being intimate with a boy just seemed like the most impossible thing. It still feels like that a lot of times. What about you? Did you date in high school?
Well, I had my first boyfriend when I was a senior.
That's pretty late.
I was very, very late. I didn't kiss anybody until I was 16. And
me
it was,
too.
I had braces. Yeah, you know.
Oh, you had braces in high school.
That's yeah. Nice. I got a sweet finger banging though.
Really?
Yeah, like 16 and a half. It was pretty awesome.
That's cool. Did
oh,
you
yeah,
like
it felt great. Well, what girl doesn't love a sweet drunken finger banging
from a 16-year-old? I don't know that it's gotten much better.
I don't know either.
I mean, it's bad out there. It's I'm
no,
still,
but it has to have gotten better. At least maybe that's a silver lining of the porn. No, probably not.
No, I don't think so, because I think maybe they realize that they have to perform better like porn stars, so they're stepping it up. But I also think they think you should perform
right.
better. And guess what? You should be happy I'm here. And so I want to relax and try to have an orgasm, because I can't if I have to do cardio. I really can't. Honestly, most of my orgasms start from me faking them, so I legit feel like I'll get turned on and then it'll be like a weird
oh, yeah,
wet
yeah.
energy
that makes
in the room.
Total sense. Did you watch Big Little Liars?
No.
Oh. Nicole Kidman has a crazy orgasm noise.
That makes you think like maybe she sounds like that?
It's like hot and weird.
We do need to talk about your performance in Lost in Translation.
Oh my God.
Because that's my favorite movie.
You, and Nikki.
That's my favorite movie.
What kind of takeover is this? Thank you.
I'm sorry, but like, I know that you do these podcasts and people probably don't turn it on you that much. I'm hijacking a little bit because your fans love you and they're not going to be annoyed by this. I truly, and I don't get to like hang out with you. We don't have the time to hang out, but I'm going to see you again at some point and we'll talk. But I just, this is our first time hanging.
You're not going to just see me. I am keeping you here.
I can't wait to be kept. Please.
Cassie, can you get some rope?
I mean, don't turn me on. But I'll tell you what this girl the other day was just going, okay, 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 okay. And it just was like, stop, like pick a new word. It just was so bad. I had to turn
okay,
it, even though I loved what was happening
like,
to her.
It's like the B of like.
But that's why I kind
like,
of ended up liking it, because
yeah,
she was
really
so
funny.
Taken out of her own head that she couldn't come up with she was coming so hard she couldn't come up with another word. That's
I'll
fine.
Take it.
That's
you
fine.
Fine.
That's fine.
That's fine. Nikki, you're fucking hysterical.
I'm trying to think of another one, but that's fine kind of top.
That's fine. That's fine.
C plus.
Most improved.
Oh my God, I got most improved 2 years in a row on the field
hockey
team.
What do you mean?
You can't get most. That's how bad I was. They gave it to me 2 years in a row, most improved. Well, I guess I didn't improve that much the first year.
Yeah, but what the fuck is that award supposed to mean?
It's supposed to mean she's got a lot of heart. I was not an athlete. Shouldn't Were you an athlete at all?
No. No, still
no.
No.
I know. Me neither. I want to be, but it's not going to happen.
But don't you think it would like fundamentally feel better if it's like you've got a great heart award as opposed to most improved?
Yes, absolutely.
Because even at that age, you're like, you totally get it. You're like, this isn't what is this?
I know.
Best attendance? I don't know.
That's how it feels. I mean, it's a total blow-off award to give to someone who has no talent on the field. But I appreciated the acknowledgement that I did have.
What position did you play?
I don't even know. I recently talked to my coach on Facebook, and she said, all I remember is that you were...
You don't even know, but you recently talked to your coach?
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it was some kind of side
And you guys
position.
Didn't talk about... Well, whatever.
Maybe it didn't stick with me. I didn't care.
Okay,
but I love about field hockey.
But still, weirdly, you are just
I spoke to her. I should ask her what position I played because I'm sure Libby remembers.
Nikki, you are fascinating.
But she told me that I just remembered that you always didn't want to get put in the game and you just wanted to stay on the sidelines. And I was like, yeah, that checks out. Like, I just was dreading getting put in at every moment.
What did
when
you
I
do on
sports.
The side? Did you like watch?
Cheer,
we didn't have
talk
like
shit.
Phones, right? Like,
I know we didn't have phones. What I was looking at pictures of myself from high school the other day,
and, it's not like
and
you
my friends
do
and
your
I are hanging.
Homework.
Out and no one has phones in their hand. I'm like, what
right,
were we
I
doing?
Know.
After we took Smile for this photo, what did we all just like look at each other, just sit and stare at the wall? What
yeah,
did we fucking
and then you
do?
Wait for a few weeks after your parents go to like the drugstore and they get the pictures printed and then you like look at them.
We were, what were we doing?
I don't know. We were thinking about like, how do we give a blowjob?
I mean, I was talking about that a lot with my friends, but none of us had a clue and I still don't. There's mixed opinions too. Men all like different things. You just have to ask. But like being single, it's just sucks.
But
dating.
How do you, I don't know.
Dating
I
is
wouldn't,
how do you, hell.
Like, yeah, mean? Okay, yeah, no, I want to get back to dating. I was just thinking about like, whatever.
How do you ask someone like what you like? Yeah, it's awkward.
Yeah, but I do think as I get older, I'm 43 and I feel like there is the liberation is the acceptance that my brain cells are kind of melting into a beautiful place, I think.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm not sure
I am
how
the way
much
I am
I care.
And I don't care.
I mean, I do.
That's the best thing about aging is
but
that you.
Not as much.
You have to stop caring.
It's like I can look at a beautiful person and be like, fuck, that person's beautiful. Without feeling gripped with like comparison.
Oh my God. Well,
as much. I mean, it's still
such,
there.
That's
but
so good to hear. Yeah, I want to talk about that because you
there.
Touched on it with Pamela Adlon and I was like screaming at my phone being like, yes, bitches, yes. Because the thing of accepting aging, because it's like I'm 35, so I acknowledge that I'm still young and like this is a great age and I don't feel like I'm constantly complaining about being old or whatever, but I am getting older and I have to accept that. And everyone just acts like women should just, you know, just accept it and be okay with it and don't do any of the things to your face. And it's like, well, what would you do if the one thing that made people, when you were a little girl, you were told
your identity.
That, yes, you're just told that right. Everything is about getting a guy and guys like it when you look beautiful and young. And so then when you get older and you lose those things, you just are like, wait, this thing that everyone says was so important, it's going away. And everyone's like, oh yeah, just deal with it. And you're like, well, I kind of need maybe some help dealing with it. And that's honestly why I'm in therapy. I just want to be okay aging because it's brutal. And especially in this business. But I love the fact that I know as I get older, I'll give less of a shit. I just know it.
Yeah. Well,
it happens naturally.
Because our brains turn to oatmeal. So we can take comfort in that, right?
Yes, it's on a quicker. I mean, we're so fucking smart. It's insane.
But I hear you. It does bother me that it's become such a thing of like, if there's like an article about me or whatever, like on affairs, like comma 43 or like the
it
age is right there.
Always says
right there.
Age.
It is the identifying marker.
Oh, Daily Mail like, can suck my dick. Like, they do that so much. And that's where I go for all my celebrity gossip. I've seen you on there a bazillion times. And yeah, women are always flaunting something or their age is right there. Men, they never mention their age. It's like Keanu Reeves thing annoyed the shit out of me.
Wait,
because everyone's like,
Keanu Reeves thing.
What the fact that he's dating a woman with gray hair,
oh,
short
right,
gray
right,
hair.
Right.
Everyone's like, oh my God, he's so brave. He deserves a Medal of Honor. Let's just check their ages. She's still 11 years younger than him. He must be like on some different level than other people. We like wanted to give him sainthood for that. And I'm just like, I'm frustrated by it as a single woman because men my age are dating women that are a decade younger than me. And it's like, I'm tired of hearing them having old souls.
Yeah.
No, I do wonder about aging. Like, first of all,
yeah.
As soon as you said your age, I wanted to immediately be like, you don't look,
well,
you look half that.
I fucking
you
think
look
about
23.
That
that's what I wanted
time.
To say all, immediately is what
it's
I was
like
saying.
We have
you
this pattern that we've, thank you.
But that's the thing is you but, do, but the thing is, well, I don't want to.
Well, exactly.
Because who gives a shit? Why should you want
to
look 23?
And why do we feel that obligation? And then we have to have that like forced exchange where I have
and
been
then,
like,
oh,
thank you.
And then that's me telling you, Anna, whatever you're doing, keep it up. Because if you don't look 23, then something's wrong and I won't give you that compliment.
Nikki,
so,
what the fuck?
fuck?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Oh, what I want to say, recently me and my friends, and I like want to spread this, I get really triggered when I struggle with my looks a lot and struggle with aging. Obviously, it's a topic I wanted to talk to you about immediately, but I don't like feeling good about my looks because I know that it will be taken away and then I will feel sad. So I don't like to get compliments on my looks. I don't want to know when I look good and when I have to look good. Like tomorrow I'm doing Conan. I was so glad to see that there wasn't cameras here. Being on camera and having to look hot is such a fucking stressor. I'm tired of trying to look hot.
And I, you know, like I do the, you know, the mirror face. And so I'm a little bit surprised when I see myself. I have to be in a particular mind frame to watch.
What do you mean mirror face?
Whenever I look in the mirror, yes. Like when one looks in the mirror, most of us look in the mirror, we have a specific facial expression that we do that is ridiculous to our partners.
Yes.
But we all kind of do it. And then if you catch a glimpse of yourself not doing mirror face and you're like, your face is sort of slack and you're just like, oh,
yes. Or whatever.
Then it's like, oh, no, get back to mirror face, whatever. But yes.
And you're seeing a reverse image of yourself when you look in the mirror. It's not the image you actually see in pictures.
Okay, Nikki, you're getting all science-y on
me. So like when you see the image of yourself in a picture, it's not what you're used to seeing in the mirror because it's reverse. I think that's true.
I think you're
right. So it really fucks with you. And so that's why you're like, I don't look like that. How do I look like that?
And it's like with talk shows and photo shoots, I feel.
Oh my God.
Like it's.
Photo shoots?
It's like I need to.
If you ever see a woman in a photo shoot, like a picture of a woman from a photo shoot, just know that that day was terrible for her. Every one of us. It was a terrible day.
How do you look into somebody's like lens and be like, yeah, I'm the fucking like best shit on earth.
I'm such a bad model. One time I was doing a shoot and it was early on. And I remember the photographer feeling mighty frustrated with my lack of looks to give him.
What?
So this guy, I swear to God, I go, I just sensed his like irritation with me. And so I go, I'm sorry, I'm not a model. Just like jokingly. And he goes, it's okay.
Well, those fashion people are always known for their senses of humor.
Yeah. He was just like, she's really apologizing for this right now. And he's like really bothered that I wasn't. But I'm not a good model. And I don't like investing so much in my looks because when I do, it's a losing battle. They will go away. So if I have any self-worth based on my looks, it's a bad idea. And I don't want it anymore. So what I was going to say is that I've recently told my best friends, they know just if I look good, don't tell me. Because then, you know when your friends go, you look amazing. And then when you see them next time, they don't say it. And you go, she always tells me I look amazing. I must look fat right now. I think those things. So I've just told my friends, no more compliments.
I love that
about
policy.
My looks.
I love that policy.
But sometimes one breaks through because I do look so smashing that they go, you look, I'm sorry. And I go, well, that one counts because that was so good that you couldn't help yourself. But it's just a good policy because it makes us, all girls do the first 5 minutes they hang out is talk about how good they all look and how cute that thing is. And it's just like, let's just cut past the shit.
It's true. It's so true.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wait, oh God, there's so many things, Nikki. You're so amazing. Truly, you're amazing. And
thanks,
thank
girl.
You for
I
being
likewise.
Like,
I think you're such a great host. Listening to you, I've been like, because I'm trying to get better at hosting. And so I'm just.
You've been hosting this whole show.
Well, no, I love hosting and I take over sometimes. But you are truly, I love your interview style. I love the style of this podcast. And it's like.
Thanks.
So aspirational for me to have the same kind of conversational thing. Like, it's great. So
do you
like,
want to come back a lot?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go to deal breakers.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. So, deal breakers. Mm-hmm. He goes to Disneyland once a month, but doesn't have any kids.
Not a deal breaker.
Okay.
Do I just say no?
You can do whatever, but I'm curious.
I've noticed that some men just really love that place. It makes them so happy. It takes them back to his time as they were a kid. And I feel like any kind of like inner child, just enjoying your inner child and letting that thing, even though it's stupid, come out is okay as long as I don't have to be burdened by it.
Why do you think you wouldn't be burdened by it?
Because if he has to go, well, if we live close, I'm guessing we live close to this place.
No, not necessarily.
He's flying out once a month to go to Anaheim.
Oh, sorry, that's right, because you live in New York. Let's imagine that you live here in Los Angeles.
And once a month he needs to go to Disneyland.
Yeah, you guys don't live together, but yeah.
What does he do there?
It depends what mood he's in. Sometimes he loves Space Mountain. Sometimes he loves like Rocky Mountain Road or whatever that thing is.
Yeah, I don't mind.
But sometimes he just likes to wander and like
just smell it, take it in. Because I bet it has a smell that reminds you of your childhood. I think it's all related to his boyhood. And I want any man to get on in there and root around in their boyhood so they can treat me better in the future. I like any guy that's in touch with his feelings. And a guy that goes to Disneyland once a month is not embarrassed to just be who he is. I like it. Next.
Damn.
Are you dealing with this in your life?
I was going to put up a strong counter argument, but I can't.
No,
I can't
now. Totally can.
No.
Okay.
No, I can't. I can't.
Ironclad. Right.
Okay. The first time you guys start hooking up, he says, "Can I go down on you?" And then proceeds to go down and lick your toes.
Does he eventually make it to my vagina?
We let's linger at the toes for a while.
Okay. And I don't mind a guy with a foot fetish.
Okay.
But that's a really funny joke.
If this were happening to me, mm-hmm. I would feel a whole like myriad of simplistic emotions.
I would feel pranked.
I would feel slightly embarrassed. I would feel ticklish. I would also feel self-conscious because...
Yeah, what condition are my feet in? I didn't know they were going to have a mouth on them. Although I think a guy licking feet already is in for whatever you're going to give him. I was hooking up with this guy once and
Take the power back, Ferris.
Yeah, if he's into your feet, then he's into whatever you got cooking down
there.
He's
right.
Got to be. He's
Shit,
a foot
I didn't
guy.
Even think
they
about
love,
the dirty
like, foot.
The positive side of this
yes.
in that way.
But one time a guy I was hooking up with put his tongue in my ear and I was horrified because I didn't clean my ears. I was hooking up later, so I cleaned every hole, literally, you know, but my ear was disgusting. The next day I put a Q-tip in and it was like
stuck in a baked ziti. But wasn't it probably like four different emotions there though? Wasn't it also like,
why is
this doesn't feel erotic?
Ear? No, not at all.
So why does it feel erotic to him, but not at all to me? Like how do humans not have a collective experience on any
level?
Well,
that's what told me that he likes it. He was doing what he wants. He was love languaging me.
But you didn't like him enough mm-hmm. to accept the
I hated it.
Ear cleaning.
No, because I was like, I'm going to get swimmer's ear from this shit. You're getting water in there and it makes it.
Did you tell him? What did you?
No, I just kind of like moved on, you know, like I moved on to other things that were.
What at what age do you think you were able to tell a guy, like, this is what I like?
I hope 43. Hoping to get to that point at that age. That would be nice.
Well, we are taught.
Because I am bad at
women,
it.
Don't you think, to attempt to figure out what pleases a man?
Yeah.
And men are probably socialized maybe to figure out what pleases a woman. But the fact that there's this gulf in the heterosexual world.
You're so right about that. Like, we aren't, it's so hard to communicate, but like, why is it?
I know.
We both don't know what each other's body parts are like, so we should ask for help. Like, I'm so confused a lot of times. But my problem is, even as a woman, I don't even know my own needs sometimes. So like, I don't even know what to ask for because I feel like sometimes I'm so out of touch with my own body. And then I also feel like if a guy tells me what to do, I might do it and still be bad. And then what? Oh, no. So sometimes I just feel like I'm just winging it. It's just all of this is so confusing. I'm so awkward about sex. It's like I am so tired of men being the ones that get to come and get to have sexual pleasure and the women aren't. And this isn't every man, obviously men listening. I know there's so many of you that like try to figure this out and you can't. And I'm even telling you sometimes I don't even know what I want. So it's a nightmare to even begin to try to understand sometimes. But I do feel like there's so many times as young women that like a guy, you'll be making out with a guy and he'll just take his penis out. And then you just like feel obligated to do something to him because he's like, oh, it's penis time. And you're like, wait, what? And it's like, I think we're all just so confused and that a man's needs always come first. And they're setting the tone. They're kind of deciding what's next. And it's like, that's what I fear about hooking up even now as a 35-year-old woman is like, I'm going to do something I don't want to do because a guy is going to make me feel pressured to do it.
I would have loved for my first boyfriend, Brent.
Yeah.
To have said to me.
Brent is such a cute name.
To have said to me, listen, okay, I know that we're in high school. I have this appendage that I know you don't have that gets really swollen and is irritating because it just needs to be paid attention to.
Yes.
So that's my deal. What's your deal?
Yeah, that is such a good way. Like, do you want to play with it? Do you want to stretch it? Do you want to see its limits?
Yeah, give it a whirl.
Oh, my God.
Because it's all I can think about. It's really taking up all my attention.
Yes. That would be so good if we could just have that kind of discourse about it. I remember the first time my, like, ex-boyfriend, like, looked at my vagina, like, was just really just studying it. And I was, like, so turned on that he was, like, interested in, like, learn, like, what is this?
Well, there's all kinds of folds and fascination
because
in there.
Most of the time guys hook up, they're just like in the dark, they're kind of blank. They never just like look at it and like try to understand it. I mean, I don't even sometimes want to look at it and understand
if
it.
If we work together,
I know,
as a gender, dude, we can control the whole fucking thing.
I know. They are so stupid about their fucking dicks.
Oh,
it gets every powerful, smart man into trouble is this goddamn dick. So that is where, that's where we need to focus our energy.
Exactly. We got this.
But that's, I've been saying this on stage too. It's like, that's why I struggle with letting go of being fuckable. That's my big thing, because when you're fuckable, you control men. You have a one up on men because men want to fuck you. And so they are weaker around you. And when you lose that, you lose the ability to weaken a man and steal from him. And that is what I like. I want, because how else do you get it? Men control fucking everything. You know what gets respect in our business is having money and success. And a lot of times you can get those things once you've reached a certain level of success and power, and then you can maintain it. But if you haven't achieved it yet and you're unfuckable, it's like, how do you get it?
But isn't
how
there,
do you trick them?
But is there like this, because as an outsider in the stand-up world, isn't there this sense of like there's a club? Is there a different language of ribbing one another?
Male and female comedians, yeah, I get along. I don't think of myself, I never thought of myself as like a female comic until I just got asked about it a lot. And I'm so fucking proud to be a female comic because we're different than male comics. What propels us to do it is different than men doing it.
What do you think that is? What do you mean?
I mean, for me at least, it's not feeling like I'm beautiful enough, because I would wish I could just get by on my looks and like be an actress, or not even actress, I'm bad at acting, but like be a model. Oh my God, I feel like it would, and I'm not even good at modeling. I've even said that before. It's a job that I couldn't do. But I've always resented not being pretty enough because I grew up with a pretty sister. This is all my like bullshit.
But what propels men? I want to get back
propels
to you.
Men being funny is because being funny they is a sign of intelligence, and women are very attracted to funny men. Men are not attracted to actually funny women. They appreciate a funny woman. They can laugh at a funny woman, but they don't want to fuck a funny woman. And there are exceptions, but they are few and far between. And the science backs this up. There's an article I read called Why Men Don't Like Funny Women. And it like,
why?
And because it's a sign of intelligence.
Fuck.
Dude, I brought this article into my therapist and I was crying. I was like, what I thought was real is like, I'm funnier than these men and they don't like it. And no. I don't like it either, by the way. I like to laugh in a relationship.
Nikki Glaser, bring in the sad news.
I know, isn't it devastating?
Here, dear listeners.
I was like, do you guys want to hear about a climate change report just to brighten the mood in the room for any funny women listening?
Let's get back to Corona.
Yeah. No, men, this is what the study found. I swear to God. So men and women define, like, say they look for the same thing in the opposite sex, right? First looks, second sense of humor. We list the same things in order.
Really?
However, yes, which is good. However, men and women define sense of humor in the opposite sex completely differently. Women define men having a sense of humor as a man who makes them laugh. Men define women with a sense of humor as a woman who laughs at their jokes. That is the disconnect.
So,
if you just laugh a lot, men think you're funny.
The giggler.
Yep.
Because we've been socialized to be the gigglers.
You've been the giggler. I saw you in Lost in Translation. You were a classic giggler. That girl's so funny. No, she's not. She just laughs at fucking everything a man says, and men think she's funny.
Yeah.
You were the giggler.
The giggler.
That's a classic example I'm going to give now when I cite this study, because that is a character, like, you nailed it.
Well, the sociological idea, though, which I find fascinating, is that are we conditioned at some point to truly be the audience members, and that makes a man feel good, or at least this is how in like that, you know,
it's good survival technique. Laugh at a man, make him feel good. He'll protect you during wartime and famine. It's all like based on these instincts of like build a man up, make be quiet.
And we've been talking lately about how I was talking to Cassie and Michael about how in so many scripts, men don't ask questions because it's a like if you ask a question, that means you don't know something.
Oh my God, there should be studies of like men
how many times
women like, always asking questions.
Yeah, and right, because we have to be like,
well, that's what I find on dates. Men don't fucking ask anything about me.
Right, right.
They never, actually, scripts are just a representative of what actual men do.
But I'm not sure it's their fault because we fucking socialize.
None of these things are anyone's fault. Girl, I talk about this on stage of like,
oh shit, did I steal your material?
No, this is like so treading in waters that I love because men, I'm not even mad about men about any of this shit because everyone's born the way they are.
No, because it's not
their fault. If I was born that way, I would be the same fucking way. So I'm not mad about it, but we need to acknowledge it.
Totally.
That it's fucked. Like sometimes like a hot guy will come on my radio show and I'll just like throw back my head like cackling at the dumbest joke because I'm like, I am wanting to flirt with this guy and this is how I do it is like laugh so hard.
Shit,
I start twirling my hair. I start laughing at his dumb jokes and then I need to change my panties.
But wait a minute. So because I now upon reflection, I may do that as well, but I don't want to fuck those guys. I like them, but I don't want to fuck them. But am I socialized to, am I picking up their cues of like maybe what I think that they need is like the giggler and like the hair twirler? Like, am I doing that?
Yeah,
I'm
because
feeding in to the fucking system? Shit.
Because you're smart. You want to survive. And that guy probably has a lot of power because he's white and he's tall and handsome. And he could maybe give you a job because they control everything. And so, so naturally you want him to like you. Not even that you want to fuck him. You just want him to like you.
Yeah.
And you want them to want to fuck you because then you have a little bit of power.
Nikki, do you ever feel like halfway through like a riff or a podcast or
a
something
bit.
That like I get this deep like this and I'm sweating a little bit, this insecurity of like, is anything I'm saying of interest to
I get
anybody?
It all the time,
but do you feel
of you too?
I really do. Like, you're so cool. What the fuck?
It was just like instant it was like,
I mean, I have a million other things to ask you about, but like you're congratulations on just like being fucking badass and making it work and just consistently working. Your Wikipedia was like, god damn it, did I get my steps in today in terms of word reading.
I don't
there's
know
a lot to
how
read
much is true on there.
It's all true. Your middle name is Fiona. No, that was, what's her name? Pamela Adlon got so mad. My middle name is not Fiona. I just listened to the episode.
She is emphatic.
But then she wouldn't tell you what her real middle name was. What's your middle name?
K. K-A-Y.
K. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. K.
What's your middle name? Nikki?
Nicole Renee.
Nicole Renee Glazer is now approaching the stage.
I do not feel like Nicole Renee. I feel like Nikki. Nikki Rennie. It's not, it doesn't
We're
do me.
We're going to be best friends for life.
You can
and
call
live
me
together.
Nicole.
Forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Nicole and Renee. Like, I just want to waste syllables because I enjoy the idea.
That is nice. No one's ever called me Nicole Renee.
Nicole Renee.
But that could
Where
be
the
my
fuck
name.
Is my omelet?
You know people who have like really obnoxiously long first names.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what are you doing? Like, you added
like
your
what?
Middle name. Well, I don't want to call her out because she is going to be listening, but my new assistant's name is Grace Ann, but it's like all one word. And it's kind of like, pick one.
Great. G. Let's go G.
Yeah, let's go even shorter. No, it's actually a beautiful name. And it's constantly being like, it's not Grace and it's Grace Ann. And some people just, I could be Nicole Renee and everyone would just have to call me that.
Nikki, I'm going to keep you here for like 8 more hours.
I know. Okay, we have to move on.
No. Because everything you fucking say is so insightful and observant, which means it's hysterical, which I guess is like the kind of shit that comics already know.
Well, no. I love hearing that.
Well, it's true. Okay, so his favorite sexual position is missionary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah,
Wait,
love
deal
it.
Breaker? Oh, no, you love
no,
it.
No, love it.
Wait,
I love
what do you
missionary.
Love it?
Because it just hits it good for me.
Yeah.
Missionary feels better to me than doggy.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, so I don't mind it.
All right.
What about you?
Oh, I like a lot of different angles.
Yeah, you do?
I love a little on top.
You like being on top?
I do.
Oh, my God. I wish I liked it up there. Don't you get tired?
Yeah.
Like, your legs get tired.
But that's why, like, I canceled my gym membership.
You don't need to go.
No, I just ride. I just ride.
That's cool. Is it hooked up to Peloton?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll get the Peloton pack for my boyfriend's head.
Yeah, yeah. No.
The back of his head.
Like after like 3 weeks, you don't get tired anymore.
Okay. Oh my God. That would be a great class. Because my friend the other day was like, clearly we just don't know how to ride dicks. Because girls that know how to ride dicks get guys. And I'm like, I guess I don't, because I don't ride dicks. So I got to learn how to ride one. So she watched all these YouTube tutorials about how to do it. She learned.
For the first 2 minutes, you burn 4,720 calories.
Wow.
But then after that, then it's only like 200 calories per minute or something.
Okay. Yeah. And then you get off every so often and do a burpee, or?
You can get a sip of water every now and again.
You got to get back on the man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
Check it out.
I'm so glad you're learning. I feel like I never get to teach anybody.
It's really cool to just learn. Because I did want to know like what you know, what celebrities use to stay
and no
so
doggy?
Fit. And just,
I don't know.
I'm actually fine with it because
you got to be in
love. I feel
love,
like I look hot from that angle, but you got to be in love. Oh, for doggy?
I will have to be in love actually to have sex anyway.
I do too. I don't have sex with.
Did we just
I don't have
break
sex.
Through something?
I have to be in love to have sex.
So we're like fucking around talking about how like
so
we're
hard,
just.
Though, because sometimes you want to have sex and sometimes you're not in love. What do you do?
You don't. Then.
I know. That's why I haven't had sex since June.
Well, good. But I mean, be in love and like, because it should always be.
Yeah.
Enjoyable.
Oh boy. Even think about it is making me feel weird.
Hey, Mom. Guess what? I really learned something.
Yeah.
What was like always the thing that our parents, at least, I don't know if your parents told you, but like, you know, like when it's time for you to be intimate, you know, it's really important that you're in love or whatever.
Oh my God, my parents didn't say anything. So they just knew I wasn't banging anytime soon. So I didn't until I was 21.
And that's when you lost your virginity. I think you said that earlier.
Well, I just like got so wasted that I like had made it
so
happen.
It was awesome.
Because that was the only way that it was going to happen.
It's always awesome.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
The first time, I mean, wasn't awesome,
no,
but it was like.
It's always awesome. Nikki, it's always awesome.
It always is really a good.
Like, I took a consensus.
Yeah, you're right. Every
like,
woman you ask the first time.
99.3% of women say losing their virginity was pretty much just the best. Oh, Nikki, you're sweet to laugh.
Right. No, you're so funny to say that and to really stick that. That was hilarious. Because at first I was like, I don't think. And then I'm like, oh, she's
so
doing
that's
a
why
bit.
I had to push
no, it was so good.
Was
I'm
like,
so
I
glad you
Nikki.
Stuck it.
Because
no, I was like, there's no way she thinks that the first time's the best. That was hilarious. That character of the girl who thinks everyone's first time is the best.
God, I want you here forever. Okay. He, assuming it's a he, and whatever.
Yeah, I'm open.
All right. Only showers once a week.
Disgusting. No.
Okay.
Total deal breaker.
Okay.
Come on now.
Okay, wait. I like these deal breakers when it involves sanitation issues because it always feels like a minor detail with our guests that feels like it could tap into something like deeper.
I mean, did you hear my response to that?
Yeah.
It
you
was
were
like
immediate.
Filled
you,
with like,
you were
I said
open
disgusting.
To Disneyland?
Yeah.
You were open to toe sucking.
I think it's because
missionary,
I secretly
you were
feel that way. And so when I see it in someone else, I feel like bad. Like anything that any of us are repulsed by is because it truly comes from within and how we feel about
so
ourselves.
So you mean you feel fundamentally unclean?
Yes, sometimes. I feel
well, as women, we're fucking blanket. We were talking about this the other day. Well, maybe everybody is.
I'm so
I shouldn't
clean.
Say, I shouldn't, the,
but
we're guilty.
I feel like, you know, the inside of my purse is trashed. I'm a messy person, but I'm not unclean. But there's something scary to me about a man possibly at one point saying I'm smelly or like saying
yes.
My pussy stinks or
oh,
something.
God.
Like I am so scared. I live in constant fear of that.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it comes from. It's like and
fucking totally makes
because
sense.
I've always been scared of this, but I actually had this fucking fear realized when I dated a guy. I dated this guy. I broke up with him, hurt him. I thought we were still friends. We did a show together. He performed on the show in front of me. And on the show in front of me, he did a song that he wrote about me after we broke up where he talked. The whole song was about how I had bad breath. And then he later clarified it was one time I had bed rest, and I remembered the time because I just was drunk and I was like eating the salad with onions, and I even kissed him and was like, dude, my breath is terrible, I gotta go wash my, like, I have to use mouthwash. And he even put that in the song. He was like, yeah, at one point she was like, it's really bad, I gotta go, and then she went and brushed her teeth and she came back and it was worse. Like, that was the bridge. I was like, oh, thank you. And then he defended it like, it wasn't bad, it was just one time, I thought it was funny. And I'm like, he goes, I didn't know you were so paranoid about your breath. And I'm like, I wasn't until today. And now I will always have Listerine pocket packs with me. I will never risk this again because being thought disgusting by a man is like my biggest fear.
Nikki, when I finally broke up with Brent,
yeah,
he told me that he had been faking his orgasms for like the last 4 months.
What? Brent! Brent!
Yeah. It was like, and this was the only person I'd ever slept with.
Wait, so you were using condoms? And you would just pretend?
No, I was on birth control. Because so I was like, we're getting married.
Then,
like,
no way, dude.
I mean,
no
I didn't
way.
Really think we were going to, but it was,
but
I
he
was
faking
in
orgasms
love.
Inside you. And then you would be like, well, that was a light load.
I didn't know, I just didn't know any better.
Oh, yeah, because it was the first guy you had sex with.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So did that make you feel better?
Yes.
I don't know, but those stinging, those, like those
and you
things,
hear the way men talk about women sometimes when they completely. Don't like women. They say mean things about hookups. I have a lot of guy friends and I hear the way they talk about their hookups. And I'm like, if I was ever the woman that you were talking about, like who fucked you and now you're saying that her pussy stank, fuck you.
Do you know what? I think that men think that we, like women talk about like their dicks or sexual performance more than we do. And
right.
I think that the reason that I never talk about it is because one, it feels personal and inappropriate, but also I think that we're so conditioned to feel terrified about what they're saying about us. That do you think I'm right about this?
Yes.
And this is a theory I'm just positing out there. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but
I have to say though that I think I don't talk about dick size as much as I do, but I do. So I will admit
you just have more friends. I don't have
I do have friends that we talk about dicks, but we don't talk about them all the time. And I don't think men talk about our vaginas all the time, but I do think both are equally as bad. And I will say that that's my biggest fear is that men won't date me because they'll think I'll talk about their dicks on stage, which I would never do ever, ever, because I know how sensitive men are about their penises. I wish you could see her face. I'll tell you this. When I've hung out with people, women who are like the best actresses, or it's always women I see this in. You first take them in, and then throughout talking to them, they start looking like different people. Like, you've looked like 5 different people since we've been talking because you're so malleable and like you're such a beautiful woman, but it shifts into different beautiful women. You've looked like Emma Stone. You look like Jennifer Lawrence. You've looked like Anna Faris. You've looked like another girl I know. Like, it's so weird. I keep being like, she looks exactly like this person. It's just wild. But it always happens with celebrity women that are good actresses. They start shape shifting. I also did microdose mushrooms earlier. I'm just kidding. I did it. But it seems like that's how I feel when they look at actresses' faces. Like you, like it's happening big time with me. And it started happening early on in this podcast and I didn't want to call it out until it got egregious. And now it's like you've looked like 7 different people at this point.
I have to tell you, I think that's the best compliment. I
you can be anyone.
Well, I don't think that, but I do like.
Well, not president because you're a
I don't
woman.
Know if you felt. Whoa.
They won't let you.
Woo.
Not going to happen.
Nikki.
But you can do anything else.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe not spacewalk, but we can get to that later.
Yeah. Right. I love that thing of like, they don't even get it. So you all smart people, this is happening a lot on like Love is Blind when dumb people are let.
Yeah, we've been supposed to, yeah.
Love it. A lot of times they go, I can't even get into my feelings about that because they don't have any. But it's a dumb person way to sound smart and go, I can't even go there. And it's like on religion, I don't even want to talk about it. It's like, oh, well, you don't know anything about
it. So they have to talk in vague, like on The Bachelor, but less positive?
They just act like they're above talking about it when really they don't know their talking points.
Oh, okay. So can
they avoid it?
Can we do something?
Love is Blind.
Yeah, but I haven't seen it, so.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for you. I just started last night.
Do
oh, my God.
Do the girls talk to each other? Or, like, how does it, what's the.
Sometimes.
What's our setup here?
Okay, so the setup is, and I'm nervous about
this. I
want
to do the dismissive thing. Okay.
You're okay.
Amazing.
I'm going to be the guy, okay?
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm okay. Totally cool being a dude. Yeah, so like.
Okay, so I'll be.
I'm going to be Barnett, okay? Like, it's fucking crazy.
Ooh, that's a good name. Your name is Barnett?
Well, he's really a character on the show.
Oh, okay.
And he's just like, it's just like wild. It's like wild I'm feeling this way about you right now.
Okay, first of all, I have to tell you, like, this has been so amazing to, like, be here with you. And this whole experience, it's crazy. But I really think that I have a lot of feelings for you. And I don't know why it's so weird, because it's like I haven't even seen you yet.
It is weird, but just tell me what you need. Tell me what you want.
Okay, well, I want someone who really gets me. Like, I want someone who is like, oh, Tinsley, like, I want you to pursue your dreams.
That's all I want to do is get someone. That's all I want
to
do.
And I want, like, to be able to be, like, everything to the person I fell in love with,
right,
too.
Well, that's all I want to do is be the person that to whatever you just said. I swear to God, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Do you mind that I have a severe alcohol problem?
No, because I feel like we have so much in common.
So, and you also enjoy drinking just incessantly?
There's just, I like, promising I want things life that you can't to be lived. Like, I want to, like, take full advantage,
girl,
of every moment.
I swear to God, my mom has that sign in her bathroom.
Like, I just want, like, I feel this is really special. And I know I don't want to tell you, like, all of this. I don't want to be, like, the messenger. But
just what is going on? You're freaking me out right now, Tinsley. What is going on? Tinsley, I want to be there to hold you. I want to break through this wall, which would be very easy to get through.
It's just like,
this is
like,
just a TV show. This isn't
law.
I
was an only child. Like, I, like, so being
Tinsley,
around
I don't know
girls,
what that means.
Being around all
I'm
these
very
girls
stupid.
Is hard. So
right.
When Ashley D and Ashley W were, like, fighting, I didn't, like, know how to react.
Why haven't I met them yet? I'm concerned that the producers haven't introduced me to either of the women you just said.
Oh, you don't really want to meet him, I don't think.
I definitely do.
I definitely do.
Your
no,
emotions right
no,
now are actually
no,
making me feel
crazy.
My dick soft.
They're crazy. Like,
but I'll forget this conversation because I'm blackout drunk and I'll have it again with you tomorrow. I'm Barnett. They're drinking the whole damn time. So they're all, he's promising these girls these things that he can't keep. It's hilarious. I can only imagine where this goes. But he ends up with a girl that he's happy with.
How do you know that?
No, it's not. They end up the second episode. They pick the people. So they're blind. Then they pick the people. Then the rest of the show should be called Love is Blind the first episode. But the rest of it,
Nikki,
they're all seeing each other.
I have no idea. Like,
so they're in these pods. They meet through a wall. They can't see each other. They can't smell each other. Or they can't touch each other. They can only talk. And they bond hard, girl, hard.
I don't
they
understand.
Go on 5 dates. After 2 dates, one guy proposes. It's wild.
So wait, so they just what, eat dinner separately?
Yeah, so they live separate lives in like a bachelor type mansion with the other people of the same gender, and then they throw them into these pods. They have these dates all night. They take notes on notepads, and then they talk about it in little like one-on-one interviews, and they come back and they have another date, and then eventually they get married, and then or they get engaged, and once they get engaged, then they get to see each other, and then you see two people who haven't seen each other who are already in love run to each other and pretend to like the way each other looks.
All right, 2 questions.
Yes.
To whom would you most like to apologize and why?
I'd like to apologize to the person that I had on my radio show this morning who I made so upset that he left the room. And I just got a text from him, so I'm thinking about it. But I would like to apologize to him. And I already did, but I'd like to say it live. I won't say his name, but that's who I'm apologizing to, like, right after this podcast.
Okay. What is the trait you most dislike in yourself?
My low self-esteem. Which sounds like I have low self-esteem talking about my low self-esteem. But if I didn't have low self-esteem, I'd be, like, unstoppable. But it also wouldn't be funny.
Exactly.
Okay, so I like it.
No, but I don't mean to argue with you. Why am I arguing with you?
No,
about
I don't
that?
Know.
But I do think that a sense of empathy is related to esteem issues. It's
yes.
Like, and I think that that's incredibly important in
they're connected.
What you do.
Yeah, people think I'm very confident, which I am in a lot of ways, but I also have deeply low self-esteem, which has made me who I am. But, like, it's annoying, and I'm getting tired of it as I get older. It's just holding me back.
But that's why you can tell stories that feel
yeah.
like they're very human.
I know, but I'd give it all up just to be a confident teacher in the Midwest who likes herself and doesn't worry about everything she puts in her body. And to just be, like, comfortable with who you are, I'd probably give up a lot to have that. But I don't think it's achievable. I don't think anyone really has it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Okay, so we're going to call some people, Mickey.
Okay, great.
So we call people who have unbelievably...
written into the show.
Yeah, you know this, don't you?
And we give them advice.
Yeah. All right, we're calling Brittany.
Hello?
Hi, is this Brittany?
It is.
Hi, Brittany, it's Anna Faris. I'm here with Nikki Glaser.
Hi, Anna. Hi, Nikki.
Hi.
Hi, Brittany.
Hey, what's going on?
Okay, are you ready?
I don't know.
Yes.
Okay, so I have been with my boyfriend for 10 years. This is the longest that I've ever been with anybody in my... I'm 30 years old, and he's the second serious boyfriend that I've actually had. And about 3 years into the relationship, I found out that he has renal failure. So that was a shocker to me.
Brittany, will you explain to me what that is? I know I've heard of it.
Kidney?
Yeah, kidney failure.
Mm. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry, though.
Yeah. And I've never had to deal with that. So dealing with it was like a big shock to me because I've never known anybody with that disease or anything. Mm-hmm. And so we've been dealing with that for the last 10 years. And about 3 years ago, I was sitting there and something told me that I needed to look through his phone and something just instinct told me. And so I did, and I found out that he had been messaging a technician from his dialysis unit. And so I confronted him about it, and we talked it over, we worked it out. And about last year, in about May, I just needed to check his phone again. So when I did that, I found more text messages from him and the technician from his dialysis unit, along with messages and pictures from his ex-girlfriend.
Hmm. Oh, Brittany, yeah. God, that must have been painful. So then what happened?
It took me a couple days to bring myself to actually say something to him and confront him about it. But when I did, he didn't act the way someone that just got caught doing something bad would act. He just nonchalantly told me about, like, he told me everything, and I told him about everything. I made him pull his messages up. He acted like it wasn't a big deal and that it wasn't happening, and he didn't act like it was really that big of a deal.
But when you asked him, was he dismissive of your feelings? Was he like, babe, you're crazy?
That's how I feel, is like it wasn't a big deal to him like it was to me.
So whether or not it was a big deal to him is not even the case. It was a big deal to you, and if he hasn't done a good job of making you feel like it wasn't a big deal, then he's not acknowledging your feelings. Women toss this word around, but it's gaslighting to be like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But Brittany, back to an earlier issue, was he diagnosed with his kidney condition before? Did that take a bit of time for him to tell you?
It did. We're, I think, 13 years apart. Like, I'm 30 and he's 43. Mm. And he didn't tell me anything about him being sick until he had crashed my car. And I went over to his mom's house where he was, and his mom told me.
Oh.
And that was 3 years after we had already started dating.
Wow.
Yeah.
But are you happy? Are you happy with him? Like, let's say this other, like, cheating or flirtation or whatever's going on that end, which is something that, you know, we don't know about, but are you happy? Do you love him? Do you want to be with him?
I do. It's hard to explain because I do love him. I love him so much. And I do trust him as far as, like, him protecting me and, like, coming about, like, I trust him with my life. But as far as, like, relationship trust, I don't trust him.
That is tough. That's tough. And yeah. Have you talked to him? I mean, I know that you confronted him. It's always so difficult to, especially like in the heat of a moment, you know, because things tend to implode and people are only listening to themselves. So it's hard to have like an actual exchange rationally. I love that you love him. And I think that you should tell him these things in when it's all about timing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you might need to reestablish like a different pattern of communication because it sounds like he's been keeping some things from you. So of course, how are you going to trust him with your love and your heart and your future or whatever you see yourselves with until you sort of clear up some of these things? And I don't want you to feel like anxious every time he goes to for his dialysis. I don't want you to feel, I just don't want you to be feeling like you need to look through his phone. You know, I don't want you to just live under that cloak of paranoia.
Yeah, and that's my thing is like, I trust him with my life, like I said, but as far as the relationship goes, I don't. And I've told him that. I actually, a few months ago, I was in a weird space and I just told him, I was like, I'm not happy and I don't want anything to go sideways if I tell him that I'm not happy. Because then all he said is, well, then I messed up and I have to work on it and I have to work on getting you back to happy.
Right. And is he doing that?
I mean, not really, because we've been dealing with his kidney disease. And like 2 years ago, we were getting ready to be on the kidney list for him to actually get a kidney transplant. But then things fell through with that to where we are no longer on the list. So,
oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the last 2 years we've been dealing with that, trying to figure out what to do for the next step for him to get a kidney.
Jesus.
So the whole relationship thing kind of got put on hold until we figure out what we can do to get him better.
Have you ever asked him why he didn't tell you about his disease before?
Yeah, I have. He's a very private person and he doesn't like talking about it and letting people know that he is sick, because he feels like if he tells anybody that they're going to treat him way differently and more like he's not able to do things that he is actually able to do.
I mean, you guys have been dating for 10 years. Do you see a long future with him?
I did, but after everything happened this last time, I've been rethinking everything. Like when the situation did happen, I did tell him that marriage was off the table.
Huh.
And that kind of shocked him.
Yeah. But I think that this is a time in your life when, especially if you're used to monogamy, I mean, change is so fucking hard. But I think, and I don't know, Nikki, if you've been in a position where a boyfriend makes you feel crazy.
Yeah, like it's gaslighting. Where they're like, your perception is off because you're cuckoo pants. I'm not doing anything wrong. And even if I am doing anything wrong, get over it. I just apologize. Everything's fine. And it's just on their rules. And you just go, oh, I am overreacting. I'm so stupid. Like this is, and they make it seem like the most pedestrian thing, but it doesn't matter if it's the most pedestrian thing and you're upset. You're upset and you're entitled to your feelings. Hey. And he has to fucking, I don't know. I feel like the fact that you even feel unsafe enough to have to go through his phone every 4 years or whatever this has been, when your suspicions start sneaking up. And if there isn't anything for you to worry about, why don't you just ask him, hey, if you flirt with a technician, will you tell me about it? Just bring me in on it.
Nikki.
If it's nothing wrong, will you just bring me in on it? Or if you talk to your ex, just bring me in. I don't have a problem with you having a relationship with your ex, because clearly there's nothing for me to worry about, because that's what you're saying. But next time you do, I just want to know about it, and let me get in on the text. I want to see what she's saying. We can write them together. But this is not, I don't want to be you guys against me sneaking around. This is you and me against everyone else.
Exactly.
Yeah, so if the dialysis nurse, oh, it's cute, you have a crush on her, she has a crush on you, that's so cute, bring me into it. Let's talk about this girl who has a crush on you. Let's analyze what she's saying. Let's make fun of her Instagram together. Let's bring this in together. If it's truly nothing for me to worry about, then let me in, because I'm interested.
Exactly. And I wouldn't even, I don't know that I would have as big of an issue, except the fact that he's the one that told me that any kind of flirting is cheating.
Yeah, so that's bullshit.
Yes.
And when I saw messages back and forth between him and his ex-technician saying, oh, I had a crush on you, and why didn't you make your move?
Yeah, that's the most flirty shit ever.
Yeah, and getting pictures from his ex-girlfriend. Like,
give me a break.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's all that happened between him and these women. woman. He was just feeling a little bit like, you know, you were probably busy that week. He wasn't getting enough attention from you. He was feeling underappreciated. He needed to just like get aroused about something. He quickly reached out and was like, oh, I'll just kind of flirt with these girls. And it feels like cheating to you, then it's cheating. Does it feel like cheating to you?
It does, because one of the questions she asked was, how come you never made your move? And he was supposed to go to Las Vegas last year for his cousin's wedding. And apparently she was going to be the driver to drive him up there. And so when she asked him, how come you've never made a move? He texted her back and said, I wanted to when you were going to take me to Las Vegas.
Oh shit. So he admitted to planning on cheating on you.
Yes.
Ugh. And what did he say to that though? When you go, what about this?
He didn't blow it. He blew it off like it was nothing. He was like, oh no, she was just going to be my ride. I wasn't ever going to do anything.
Well, regardless, he needs to actually prove that. No, oh, this doesn't make you feel
and
better.
Brittany, oh gosh, I so...
Brittany, run, bitch, run. Really, you're 30. He's 43. Get out of this. He's wasted 10 years of your life. This guy, just get out. Get out.
Nikki,
I hope he gets a kidney, while he's in line, you run.
Anybody who makes you feel... crazy.
I'm serious. You're 30. I know it feels old, but it's so fucking young, girl. It's so young. You have the, I would at least just put him on notice and be like, listen, I'm going to start dating other people because I don't feel really in this relationship. I'm going to see what else is out there. You have a good time with your dialysis tech. Just, you don't put up with the shit. I like that you put your foot down about that before and said, you know what? Marriage is off the table. Good. He needs to sense that you're on your way out. He needs to be scared he's going to lose you.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not...
Nikki is
I'm not a fan
bad.
Of this guy. I just think he's too old for you, first of all. He's,
you do? Yeah, because I don't think that...
It's fine, but listen, he was 33 and she was 20.
Well,
I
don't like it that he wasn't honest.
But I just... These older guys get these girls young, and then they get to be 30, and they get up, and they're too scared to get out of a relationship because they've only known one guy for 10 years, their whole fucking life. So they're too scared to get out because what else could be out there? Oh, I don't know. 30-year-old dick? You don't even know what's out there. The apps are insane. You've been in a relationship since the apps have dropped. They're so fun. There are so many single men out there. Yes, I'm single. Yes, I've been single for 3 years. Yes, I don't want to be single anymore. Yes, I try to get back with my ex-boyfriend. But let me let you know this. This guy will always get back together with you. So just let him go and you can always get him back.
I also
you know where to find him.
First of all, Nikki is like a fucking badass cop right now, which is incredible. But Brittany, I also don't want you to feel guilt. If this person isn't making you feel, you know, in love and happy, like, I don't want you to feel strapped to his disease, that you feel like you can't live your life without guilt. You have to be selfish.
Yes, you do.
Because he's being selfish. You know, he's being selfish right now.
Yeah, and it's hard because I'm his caretaker. I'm an actual caretaker. I take him to appointments and surgeries and all that.
So you now feel like, oh, what's he going to do without me? Well, let him find out because he is dismissing your feelings. He's probably cheating on you. He planned to cheat on you. He didn't make you feel better about planning to cheat on you. I mean, what is this guy really doing for you? Get out. You're 30. It's so young. And you can always go back. This guy is going to... You took care of him for fucking the past 7 years or however long you've known about the disease.
Mm-hmm.
He needs you. He loves you. You need to stand up for yourself and make him fear losing you because it's the only way he's going to change his habits.
The idea of like, oh, but what am I going to do without you? Like, you're actually going to leave me? And it's like, I've been telling you this for fucking 8 years. And it's like, whoa, what? Yeah. And like, but how am I going to live without you? And it's like, fuck you. You can figure this out. I know you can.
Yes.
He can.
43. Yeah,
you
he'll be okay.
It.
He doesn't need you. He does, but like,
what do your parents think too? Do you have a support system with them? Because 10 years is a long time, but I don't want you to waste time feeling not in love.
My family knows about his disease, but they don't know anything else. Like, they don't know the personal side of our relationship. I tend not to talk about that with them because they're kind of judgmental.
Well, because they will probably say the same thing that Nikki's saying.
Yeah.
Move.
Yeah.
Baby.
They don't know anything about this.
That tells me everything I need to know about this guy. If your parents are like, come on, like...
Gosh, I remember being in relationships where I would hide stuff from my parents.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, it was like... but
you're hiding it from yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said like Dr. Phil. You're hiding it from yourself.
But I don't want you to live your life taking care of somebody who isn't making you feel... exactly the way you want to be feeling.
Yeah, and I've been questioning, and I don't like to question my relationship with him because it has been so long, and he is all I've known besides my ex. And I mean, if we did break up or anything, I asked him when the situation happened, if I said, if I needed time and space, would you be willing to go to California until I'm ready for you to come back? And because that's where his family is, that's where he lived. And he did hesitate and pause for a minute before he answered and said that he would actually go if I asked him to go.
Go away from you?
Yeah.
If you weren't able to be there for him, he would need to go back home to get taken care of.
Yes.
Okay, well, it's not even about will he go. Of course he will. If you leave, he's going to find a way somehow. It's not up to, it's nice that he's open to the option of it, but you finding support for him in your absence is not really your responsibility. I know it feels that way, but I really do think you're too young to be wasting your life with a guy who's not making you feel secure. Man, if I had a guy that was hooked up to a dialysis machine for most of the day, I'd be like, oh, well, he's not going to cheat on me. Let alone, now he's talking to the fucking tech. Yeah. So you're supposed to feel safe in your relationship, and certainly not unsafe when he is being taken care of at a hospital-like setting where you're supposed to not have to worry about that, and you're worrying. You're supposed to worry about his health, not his fucking dick. It's just, you know, it's a lot, and I think you need to look at how you're suffering in this. And I know it's all about him. He's the sick one, but you've given a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's time to assess things and stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
Which
it
sounds like you're doing by even calling the show.
Totally. I love that, Brittany. I love it that you're examining this, but I do understand the idea of, I've had like exes accuse me of being like the crazy actress or whatever. Like, right. I'm so paranoid. But it turns out, for a fairly good reason, sometimes. But I don't want to be put in that position of feeling any degree of paranoia. I don't want to be put
worst.
In a position where I feel insecure ever again. And I don't want that for you either.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have you be in a position where you feel like you the need to interrogate anybody, because it sounds like he'll be deceptive or misleading and potentially manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
And that just feels awful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe take a recording of what Nikki said and just play it for him at like 3 a.m. really loud. But I want you to protect yourself, Brittany. I want you to protect yourself. I want you to be happy. And it sounds like the playing field.
I feel
field
like anyone who's calling into the show with this kind of thing is on their way out anyway. I think she's a strong girl, and I think she knows what she wants to do and just wanted to hear it validated. Brittany, I think you're so cool to call in, even with this worry, and have it all laid out exactly like it's laid out. You're ready to go. But I am also ready to go because I have to go to a fitting.
Yes, okay, Nikki.
I care about your relationship, though, and I care about your he should be your husband now by now, but God damn it.
No,
your
no,
boyfriend
great,
of 13
no,
years. I'm so glad he's not. Get
exactly,
out. Don't
exactly.
let him put a ring on it. Do not. Because
exactly.
that's what he's going to try to do.
Totally.
And he's not going to
fix
things.
Oh, my God,
fix
you're
things.
So right.
Not going to fix things.
Yep, because he's talking about marriage and walking down the aisle to music. And
God.
I'm just like,
No.
Yeah.
I told you that was out the window.
Yeah. Once you get like the 80 plus set doing your dialysis, then maybe.
No, get him some
but also
ugly dialysis
you need,
nurses.
You need to feel good. And you need to feel valued. And you're young. To be taking care of somebody, that's crazy for you. And I want you to live. My mom used to, I've talked about this on the podcast a lot, that how my mom is always like, you have to be selfish in love. You have to be selfish in love. And I didn't understand what she meant, but it's true. I think that we're socialized to be very generous to the men in our lives. And I want you, Brittany, to just make sure that your heart's protected and you're taken care of.
Yeah.
And then Nikki's gonna like throw in a little badass statement here.
Yeah, just get out. Run, bitch, run is what I think I said first, and I stand by it.
Yeah.
You've wasted enough of your life with this guy. You had good years. I'm sure you had a good time. You can always go back because he's not finding anyone new.
Nikki, I know you have to go.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
Bye, girl. Thank you.
I love you, Brittany.
Thank you, Anna. Bye.
Okay, this is my favorite just like street joke, which is a joke I didn't write, but like you can use anywhere. What's the difference between a kangaroo and a refrigerator? Are you fucking like, stupid? That's it. That's the joke. Because the people always struggle to answer. It's like everything. And that's the joke.
You know what it is? It's a weird test for the recipient. Yeah. Because it's like people want to attempt to make a...
You can pick any two random things that are very different and it still is a good joke. And then just as they're struggling to come up with it, go, are you fucking stupid?
Yeah, but the only one who enjoys it is the deliverer of the joke.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, so maybe... Maybe I should pick a better joke.
No, it's fine. If you get to have your own internal enjoyment.
That's true. The other person just feels like an idiot.
It's an expression of your narcissism.
You know what? That actually is directly an expression of it. That's all for me, baby.
Hey, from one narcissist to another.
I mean.
Thank you for making me feel like a fucking idiot, Nikki. Can we please be dear friends?
It's already begun.
Okay, good.
It's so crazy. We already exchanged phone numbers. I'm Nikki, so excited.
I love you so much. Thank you so much. I am Anna Faris in my phone.